Lingerie that feels as good as it looks? Yes, please. Today's Bod Pod episode is sponsored by Adore Me. I've been buying lingerie, swimwear, bra and panty sets, and even my loungewear from Adore Me for years. Seriously, I end up falling in love with everything I wear from Adore Me, and they have so many different styles and silhouettes and a huge size range that goes up to 4X. So it's really easy to find something that works for your specific body type. The styles just make me feel sexy and confident, and they inspire me to show up for me and for the people around me. It has been so fun and refreshing for me to work with a brand like Adore Me that really puts the focus on how the product makes you feel, no matter who you are. I'm a part of their creators platform, and I've had so much fun meeting other influencers through their platform, getting to know the Adore Me team personally, and I've even had the chance to sit in on one of their company meetings. So it's just been really great to work with a brand that I resonate with so closely that has a product I genuinely admire. Recently, I collaborated with them on the creation of their Let's Go Party collection, and not only is it a dream come true, but it's one of the best collections yet, if I do say so myself. There's lots of pink, funky designs in an array of styles perfect for summer and beyond. You can shop my collection or anything off the website when you subscribe to Adore Me's super flexible VIP membership. You'll get 50% off your first set, $10 off every set after that, and you'll get exclusive access to sales throughout the year. And if monthly memberships aren't your thing, you can make regular one-time purchases too. So head over to adoreme.com to treat yourself to something new for summer and beyond. Whatever you want to do in your lingerie, we're here for it. And now let's get into this week's episode of the Bod Pod with model, curvy creator, influencer, Alexa J.
I have the most amazing friends in the entire world. And I always say I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for them. Like on my 21st birthday, they said, we know you're sick and we are not leaving you. We're not going anywhere. We made you a therapy appointment. If you want to go, you can go. We will take you. We'll stay there with you. If you don't want to go, you don't have to, but just know we're going to be here for you throughout this journey. And I went that day and I never looked back. It was the hardest thing I've ever been through ever, but I truly think like the universe made me go through all of this so I would have understanding and be able to truly love myself.
Welcome to the Bod Pod, the podcast where everybody is welcome. I'm your host, Rachel K. Grimm, and each week we welcome old and new friends to talk all things body image, self-love, and confidence. This is the Bod Pod.
Lexi, I want to make sure I have a great on point bio for you. Obviously, I know that you're an LA-based model. You've been doing this for about 2 years. You are on both TikTok and Instagram. Are there any other specific, and I know that you use your platforms to like almost advocate for your younger self and for younger women.
I feel like that's my main thing is like utilizing my platforms and the jobs that I book. Every time I book something, whether it's modeling or something for social media, I'll try to find who invited me or find who's in charge and then make it so we're continuing this change and doing something like that.
That was, I love that you said that because that's so something I want to talk about. The idea of you are someone who is bridging a gap of inclusivity, right? Like you are showing other women that it's okay to show up. And you are showing these brands that it is okay for women that look like you to show up. They need to be a part of these spaces, need to be a part of the conversation. So 100%, totally want to touch on that. I really want to touch on the fact too, that you're in LA and I get this here in New York, but I feel like in LA, it might be even more like hyper awareness around bodies and a very specific type of beauty norm and how your body, my body, so many women's bodies, right? We don't classically represent that like beauty standard. And so I really want to talk about you living in this space that it really hyper brings awareness to that classic beauty standard and how you represent this like new, I don't even want to say new beauty standard because it's not new. Like it's been a beauty standard. It's just one that we're finally showing.
I really know what you mean. Exactly. It's hard to say because you don't want to say new beauty standard, but it's honestly true. I always say you don't need permission to love yourself. I always thought that's how I felt growing up is that I needed validation. I needed guys to like me or I needed cool girls to want to be my friends or people to post me on social media, whatever it was, some sort of validation to tell me, oh my gosh, it's okay to think you're pretty. And you don't need that. You can think you're pretty and you can look however the fuck you look.
No, I was talking to someone recently. We were talking about it in regards to sex and relationships, but really the idea that every body type is someone's type. We love to think that, oh no, you have to be like white, blonde, size 2, tall And that is the type. Okay, maybe that is someone's type. Yes, totally recognize that. But that is not every person's type. And like, it's absolutely okay to not be that person's type. There really is someone for everyone. You know what I mean?
Have you seen that horrible woman on the internet that says like how to get a high value man?
Yes.
Have you seen
her? Oh, yes.
She's literally the worst. I'm like, you just
literally
one day and decided you knew things. You don't actually know anything. But I think that's just one of the most damaging things for someone to say on the internet, especially for young women to see, because they see, oh, I'm never going to get a man worth value because I live in a bigger body. That is the most untrue thing I've ever heard in my life. I know so many women that are the happiest, most successful women I've ever met in successful relationships with high value men. And they are a high value woman. It doesn't matter what you look. If you think that your appearance takes away from the value you have as a human being, then you're not on a good frequency. I don't know if you follow Ken Urich. I think that's how you say her last name.
Yeah, yeah.
On TikTok, but she always says my looks are the least interesting thing about me.
Yes.
And I love that because that's so true. That's the least interesting part about me. If you want to bash my looks, go for it, because you can't bash my intelligence. You can't bash the woman that I am, the friend, the daughter, anything like that. So if you want to go for my looks, go for it. I also make money off of it. So it's not even valid to me. I don't even care.
Preach, literally. Like, I think about that all the time. I'm watching the new season of Love is Blind. And have you seen it?
No, but I've heard, like, this weekend is going to be my weekend to watch it and finish it. Like, I just need to.
Girl,
it's crazy. I've heard it's so good.
It is wild. We interviewed Deep T from season 2 of Love is Blind during BodCon. And her story is wild because she came from this relationship that was, he was bashing her behind her back constantly to the cameras and to castmates. And we thought that was like so dramatic. And it was terrible. This season, it's 2023. Why are we commenting on people's bodies like this? Why are we talking about looks? There is so much conversation that is around people's appearance, and which really makes you question, is love blind? There's so many people who, I don't want to spoil it for you or anyone listening, but people who have a great relationship in conversation, but then once meeting, it completely changes. And it's, what is the defining thing here? And oh, I can't wait for you to watch it.
Wait, so, but on this season, is it kind of women talking about men, or is it both ways still?
I would definitely say it's more women speaking about men.
Okay, like, I've seen like little TikTok clips and I was just like, what is going on?
You will watch it and you will think, really? Really? That's
like, do people not know they're being like filmed? I'm like, I'm sorry. I hate saying that because I know it's like reality TV and you're supposed to be real, but I'm like, think just for a second. You're being recorded. I just don't even, it doesn't make sense to me at all.
I can't wait to hear what you think about it, but I guess I should intro you because we're on our way, having a great conversation. Everyone, thanks for listening so far.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, this is Lexi, Alexa J. She is an LA-based model, content creator. She's giving us all the confidence boosting body confidence resources in the work that she does both online and in media. And she advocates for her past self and women who look like her, giving us all the permission to show up in our bodies. I'm so glad you're here. Based on how this conversation has been so far, I just know it's going to be a great one. So seriously.
I'm so happy to be here. And thank you for such an amazing intro.
I want to talk about when you first realized, hell yeah, I am that girl. I can show up like this and I can represent her. I can represent women who look like me. You have these iconic bikini photos on Instagram, girl. You're like killing it. And you really give other women the permission to show up like that. So did it start with a bikini photo? Where did it come from?
Thank you so much, first of all. I think still, just like anyone else, it still takes a lot out of me to post a bikini photo. I know it looked good, but it's still, I get the text from my dad. He's like, what the fuck was that? I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah, but just don't
look. I'm like, not a good day to be on the internet today, actually. Try again tomorrow. But it's so funny that you say that. And I feel like so many people comment on that about me, about my confidence. And they always ask, like, where did you get it? How did you get it? All of these things. And I'm always very transparent of that. I was probably one of the most cripplingly insecure people on the face of the planet for a majority of my life. And I feel like this change has really happened for me in the past like 4-3 years. I grew up in a predominantly white town. I was one of the only Black girls, and just my body was always different. My hair was always different. My family was different. Everything was different. And it was like a time where race really wasn't talked about. I feel like I grew up in a wealthy town as well. And so luckily everybody was very educated. So I wasn't experiencing like a lot of stereotypical racism, but it was a lot of microaggressions, a lot of things that I took to heart and that never allowed me to be my full self. Like I remember I wore my natural hair one day and I didn't hear the end of it at school when I was in like kindergarten, and I never wore my hair natural for the rest of my life. You've never seen my hair natural because as a kid, just I also had really bad anxiety and I didn't know that I had anxiety at that time. So just like having that attention on me and feeling like people were talking about me and I was different, like I just wanted to blend in and be like everybody else.
Yeah.
And so that consisted of me straightening my hair or wearing clothes that didn't fit me right, because that's what I would squeeze into Brandy Melville because I wanted to be included. And I think that is such a united feeling throughout young women, is just like wanting to have community and wanting to have those sisterhood of the traveling pants, friend groups, like all of those things. And so I feel like my whole life I was suppressing myself. I just never allowed myself to be who I wanted to be because I didn't want to be different. Yeah. And so going into college, that was like the first time I really pushed myself out of my comfort zone. I went out of state for it. So I went to Washington State University. Okay. And when I got there, again, it was a PWI, so a predominantly white institution. Yeah. So again, I was one of the only girls that looked different. I ended up joining a sorority, which ended up being a great decision for myself, but again, just put me in the same kind of situations I was in before. But I always tell people this, like for me, it was easier for me to be around other white people because I felt like they couldn't tell that I was insecure. But when I would be around Black women, they would be able to tell that I wasn't being my true self, if that makes sense. It's hard for me to explain. I feel like girls that grew up mixed or like in those situations might understand, but I just always felt like I was hiding myself because I didn't know who I was. I had no idea who I was.
Yeah.
And so once I got to college, I got into my first relationship, and like in high school, I didn't really get attention from boys or anything like that. It's so crazy being a girl that looks different and you don't get that attention to start getting it a little bit.
Yeah,
I just lost myself in it. And it ended up being like a very abusive relationship. It wasn't good for me at all. And it was just really hard on me. But I feel like it started the change that I needed to grow into the person I wanted to be. Yeah. I feel like that he had a lot of comments on my body and my appearance and all of these things. And it just really pushed me to my breaking point. And after that kind of kickstarted my eating disorder, which was really hard on me. That lasted for probably my like junior and senior year of college. And you're really getting my whole life story right now. I feel like I hit rock bottom my senior year of college, where I was just like, I was at ground zero. I hated myself. I hated the way I looked. My body dysmorphia was insane. I feel like before I ever experienced it, I would hear what body dysmorphia was and I just didn't understand. I'm like, there's no better picture proof than a mirror, than being able to look in a mirror and see what you look like. But once you experience looking in a mirror and seeing something, like I used to tell my friends, I would pay someone $1 million right now to tell me what I looked like, to just tell me what I looked like. Cause I had no clue. I would hyper fixate on so many things and I just couldn't enjoy my life. I couldn't do anything anymore. I couldn't go to dinner with my friends. I couldn't go to a party. I couldn't even just sit in my own thoughts. It was just constant. And I have the most amazing friends in the entire world. And I always say I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for them. Like on my 21st birthday, they said, we know you're sick and we are not leaving you. We're not going anywhere. We made you a therapy appointment. If you want to go, you can go. We will take you. We'll stay there with you. If you don't want to go, you don't have to, but just know we're going to be here for you throughout this journey. And I went that day and I never looked back. It was the hardest thing I've ever been through ever, but I truly think like the universe made me go through all this so I would have understanding and be able to truly love myself. So I don't recommend going to ground zero and hitting rock bottom, but I got to build myself up and become the person I wanted to be because I literally had a blank slate. I was like, fuck it. Like I can do and be anything now because I have nothing to lose anymore. After that, pandemic hit, came back home. And that's when the really big second wave of Black Lives Matter started.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was back home with my family and I really got to be a part of that and express that, go to protests and really dive into that. Yeah. I started taking care of my hair. I started getting protective styles. I started really like leaning into the person I always wanted to be, but was scared of being. And then I just started realizing like I was glowing, like literally glowing. Like I was gaining weight again. I was healthy. Like everything started working out for me. And I just could tell the universe was rewarding me for the work I was doing on myself. It was so hard. Therapy, hard conversations, fighting with my family, all of these things, trying to get better during a pandemic. Like it was just too much, too much. Yeah. But a little bit more time went on. The pandemic started getting a little bit better. And my friends and I were like, rent is dirt cheap right now. Let's move in together in LA. Yeah. Let's get a house. So that's what we did. We found a house. My rent was like $1,000 a month. It was crazy. 10-minute walk from the beach. It was just the craziest setup ever. Yeah. So we did that. And I was there. And that was like TikTok was taking off. And there was nothing to do. I started realizing people valued my opinion. And I could just say the things that I love. And I could just talk about it. It was so fun. And then my friend, her friends had started a clothing line in LA and they needed people that were in LA, vaccinated, all the things, and could take a couple photos in the clothes. I'd never done anything like it. And so I got a call. The clothing line is called Oddly Clothing. I don't know if you've seen them on TikTok before, but they're really great. They use like recycled, thrown away fabrics and stuff. So you guys should support them. I went and did a photo shoot with them. And the whole time everyone was like, oh my God, you're so good. These photos are amazing. And I just thought they were being nice. Like I thought, but I realized I'm like, you're not saying this to everybody. You're kind of just saying this to me. And then the photos came out and a huge article got written about it. And the only photos they used were mine. And it was crazy. And so I started seeing my photos in these articles about their clothing line. And I was like, oh my God, like, maybe I could do this. Yeah. And then I remember I went to Melrose Trading Post like a couple weeks later. I just was like missed human interaction. Yeah. I'm talking to everybody I could like 10 feet apart with my mask on. And she was like, one girl that owned a clothing line, she was talking about it. She's like, you're so beautiful. Do you model? And I was like, no, but I would. And so then I went and shot with her for her clothing line. And so it just started becoming like a collaborative space for me, but it started just building my confidence up too, because now I was like enjoying how I looked. Like now I get to feel beautiful and really take photos of myself. Like I never did that before. I would always go to the back of the group in a group photo, like all of those things. Like I did not want to be seen or the center of attention. And I remember I made a video on TikTok and I was like, today is the day that I say I am done being the supporting character. I'm done. All I've ever done is support everybody. All I do is build everybody up, tell everybody else that they're the best. And like, why do I not do that for myself? I deserve the opportunities. I deserve to do all of this. I deserve to be the it girl. I deserve all of these things. And so I said that video and I swear to God, my life changed from that day on.
Oh my gosh. I have chills.
I've been talking about this a long time, but it's a good story.
I think what's wild is that you go from absolutely hiding yourself, not loving who you are, how you look, and always trying to hide it, always trying to assimilate, always trying to be and look like everyone else. And in doing so, you're so unhappy, right? Mm-hmm. And when you finally embrace who you are, how you look, the opportunity just like flows to you. The goodness flows to you. It's like you said, I saw this glow in myself, and it's like the world saw a glow in you too. My dad loves to say, your mess is your message. I feel like Yeah, I know, right? Wow. I can't take credit. It's his.
That's a good one.
Your mess became your message. Like it led you to literally now what you're doing. Like this part of you that, like you said, on your 21st birthday was like such a low, at your lowest low. And now if 21-year-old you saw you now, she'd be like, oh my God, what a 180, you know?
What a 180. Even if like my like 10-year-old self saw me, she would pass out, like literally pass out. She'd be like, what the hell is going on? That's me. I just think about that and it's crazy. It's really crazy. Like I think about people I looked up to growing up, and I feel like Zendaya was the only girl, really, like maybe Raven Simone a little bit. Like I watched That's a Raven growing up, but like other than that, like there was no one. Like I can't think of it. Models, like no. Yeah. I can't think of anything.
now you are someone that like someone can see and they can be like, oh, Lexi's doing this, so I can too. Even if it means wearing a bikini for the first time, like being able to see someone doing what you want to do that looks like you, again, gives you permission to do it. And totally. You are that permission, girl. I love it.
Women will do that for me too. Sometimes I get down to myself. I went on a date last night and literally I just for hours, or I would say the whole day before, all I was thinking was like, is he going to think I'm fat? Is he going to think I'm fat? Is he going to think I'm fat? And it's, I hated it because it's hard because I love myself. Like I love myself. Like I don't think anything badly about myself. And at the same time, like if a man didn't like me for that, then don't like me for that. You're not someone I want to be with anyway, but it's just such a crippling fear because this world also isn't safe for women sometimes that don't look like the beauty standard or whatever it is. I've experienced being discriminated against because of what I look like. And it's hard to put yourself in these new situations with people. I remember for so long, I wasn't even letting myself entertain date certain guys for dating. Cause I was like, oh, he would never like a girl that looks like me. He would never like this. And it's like, why am I limiting myself? Why wouldn't a guy like me? Why wouldn't he? I can't even think of how many missed opportunities I've probably had in dating. I still have these conversations with myself in my head and these thoughts come. But one thing I really worked on with my therapist is breaking down these bad thoughts that I have and figuring out what the root is. And I've always realized the root of it is misogyny. I don't know if a lot of women realize how much internalized misogyny we have and we use against ourselves. Yeah. How would I be better attractive for a man? Rather than how would I live in my own beauty and enjoy my own self and my own life? I'm always going out and I'm like, okay, I need to make sure my boobs look good and my waist looks small. And this is what happened. And then I show up to the function and I see this beautiful woman wearing baggy clothes and the coolest sunglasses and all this stuff. And I'm like, if I just would have worn what I would have worn for myself, I would have felt so much better. Why did I do this every time?
You brought up discrimination. And I feel like you have been very vocal on your platforms about it. In particular, you shared a moment where you were denied access to a space simply based on how you look. If you feel comfortable, I'd love to dive into that conversation because I think it's so important to touch on because you're experiencing this. And I just had a friend literally last weekend, she texted us all and was like, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it. I was just at another space prior and I was turned away. The person literally was like, just totally bashing her body. And it's so upsetting to be like, we're in 2023. We are showing all types of bodies. We are recognizing that all bodies are the beauty standard, yet this is still happening. And so I would just love to talk a little bit about that experience for you. And as you said, you can be such a confident person and still have those days and those experiences that make you feel like you are not worth it, that you aren't that main character. How do you bounce back from an experience like that, that where you're feeling your most confident self, you're sharing your confident body online, and then that situation happens to you and really, I'm sure, can feel like it's knocking you down a few pegs?
That is such a good question. I want you to know I've done like probably 30 interviews about this and no one's ever asked me that. That's such a good question.
Well, thank you.
And you know what? I think it's still in process right now. I think I did myself a really big favor while it was all going on, not listening or reading the negative things. I knew my truth. I knew what happened. I knew I was disrespected. And obviously there's always going to be people on the internet that don't agree with you or want to tear you down or make you feel bad. And like, I just put them in that category of you're not a good person. If you see a girl crying on the internet after an experience she had and you can't find some way to relate to them or feel for them or something like that, then I feel bad for you that you can't have empathy for someone in that moment. And so I personally didn't watch any, I know a few men like made videos about it and stuff, and I just didn't watch any of them because I just knew like it just was going to make me really upset. And I just didn't want to be a part of that. Yeah. And so that was really hard though. I've never been like that. I read every comment. I do my due diligence on everything. Yeah. So it took a lot of self-restraint to not do that. And then I think the other thing was I just gave myself a lot of grace. And I tried during the situation to just really do what I was comfortable with. There's a few interviews that Ella did. Ella was the girl that was with me during all of it, that she did by herself without me there because I just wasn't comfortable or I wasn't feeling 100% that day or something like that. So she would, if she felt comfortable doing it, she would. And then I think afterwards, like I really took a break from my life. I wasn't going out. I wasn't doing anything. I was just trying to heal a little bit. And I think that important too, instead of just being thrown back in. Because I knew, like, before, when people would come up to me, they would say, I love your TikToks, or I love this campaign you did. And now I knew it was going to be, I saw what happened at the club. Tell me, like, are you okay? Blah, blah, blah. And it was something that every time I thought about it, I cried. So I was like, I need to get mentally okay so I can go in public again, have people approach me and not have a breakdown.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just lucky that everyone in my life had an amazing reaction to it. My parents were fantastic. My dad was like, do you need a lawyer? What do you need? Do you want me to pull up to the club? What can I do?
Go, Dad.
Exactly. And I'm like, no, he actually would cause some damage. So I'm like, no. And then my friends were amazing. One of the main comments of everybody would say about that situation, they're like, those girls were not your friends that went into the club. And I'm like, they weren't. Like, I didn't know them. I have no idea who any of those girls were. If my friends were there, it would have been a different situation. Yeah. And I'm glad my friends weren't there, because when social media at this age, like, I don't need a video of me cursing some guy out and doing all the whatever. Like, I knew that what this guy did was horrible, and I just needed to get myself out of the situation and I would deal with it tomorrow. And I told them that night. I said to one of the other bouncers, I was like, he thinks he's laughing right now and he thinks this is so funny when he doesn't have repercussions. But I'm like, he doesn't know who he just fucked with. Like, tomorrow is going to be a problem for him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think luckily so many amazing and important people in the community too, and like the social media space and in Los Angeles, supported us, which was incredible. One of the most amazing people I've met, her name is Marsha. She's one of the owners of H-Wood Group. She's an amazing podcast too called Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. And she is transgender. So she was relating, like, being in the club space and all of these things as someone that's also different than others. Yeah. And it was just amazing. And she owns clubs like Delilah, Nice Guy, all these things. And so I was like, it was just like a really nice FU to Highlight Room. Cause I was like, I don't literally need you at all. And some of the like most beautiful poppin' hot girls in LA are like, I'm never going there again. And that's all I needed. Yes. That's all I needed.
Yeah.
All I needed was like, you want to do this? Guess what? No more hot girls at your club then.
Yeah.
No more hot girls at your club. If that's what you're going to, it was just ridiculous. And I remember people were like, should we pull up to the club? Like all the big girls, should we get a table and make them uncomfortable? And I was like, we're not giving them our money and we're not giving them any more attention. Like they don't need any, we're not going there. Like that's our best
access at all. Like no access to you.
Totally. But back to your original question of like healing, I feel like I'm just really blessed that like I have my world, which is my three best friends that I live with, my family, and then like my other like friends and stuff. But like my family and my roommates are like my main people. And so when other shit's going on, like I can literally, if I turn my phone off, it doesn't exist anymore. Like it's back and I'm back here. So I just really zoned in on what reality is. And it was really hard because the first thought I had was about my eating disorder after that happened. I was like,
wow.
And it was the first time I had thought about relapsing in 2 years.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah, that's wild. Yeah,
it was really hard. And that's what I just couldn't believe, that a 10-minute interaction had that power to take that from me. All of my success, all of the change and hard work I had put into myself. And I thought about it. I thought about, I can't believe I'm feeling this way. And how am I going to let this man do this to me? And I was like, I will not let him. I will not let him take this from me. I am so happy right now. I am successful. I have great relationships. You don't get to take this from me anymore. And so I just, it was a mindset, really. And it's so hard to say because it's like, it's not easy, but it truly, it had to be me being like, I am not letting this ruin me. I am going to push through. I am going to be okay. And you know what? My career got even more successful. So he can suck it, because whatever, that's just what it is. I just zoned in on me and poured into me. And that's my best revenge, is like now when you walk down the street, you have to see me on a billboard and you have to remember that you did this to me every single day of your life. So enjoy that.
That is the moment. That is the moment. Here is my best revenge. Showing up as my best me. Look at me on this billboard. The most like incredible opportunities coming from me from this, again, mess turned into something absolutely incredible. So empowering. Oh my God.
And I think That is our most powerful tool, ladies, is our mindset. Truly, like, men can do the most dirty, disgusting things to us, but all we have is like our mindset and our perspective on things. Yeah. And it's so much easier said than done. But like, trying to, like you said, what was the saying? Turning a mess into your message.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. You got it.
I think that is the most perfect thing you could possibly say, of just trying to take a bad situation and being like, think of it from a PR aspect.
If that's what you
want to think of it as, this horrible thing is going on, how can I switch this to benefit me? What can I do? And that's what me and Ella did. We were like, okay, let's do this. Whatever we need to do, we're going to do. Still haven't gotten an apology from them. Still haven't had anything. I don't know if you know this, but I ran into the bouncer that did it to us.
I did not know this.
I don't think I've ever said this on a podcast, actually, but I was at Delilah in LA, and I was with Ella, and we're leaving, and we're standing outside waiting for our car, and a guy comes up, and he's, I just have to say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, huh? What are you talking about? I was like, who is this? And then I was like, oh my God, it's him. I had dreamed about this moment, dreamed about it. And I literally just was like, I remember looking at the ground and being like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I like turned around for a second. And then I was like, don't mess this up. And I turned back around and I was like, hi, good to see you. And he was like, I just wanted to say, I've lost sleep these past few months thinking about how I treated you girls, and I'm just so sorry, and I just hope you know how this has affected me. You can ask the mother of my children, you can ask all these things, da 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 da. And I was like, how has it affected you? How has it affected you? I was like, I never used your name, I never used your photo, I never said anything about you, I only named the club, so wondering how it affected you. I'm like, you're clearly still working, I see you right here with your cap on of your company and all of your things, like, you're fine, so what's up? And he did the classic gaslighty men thing of, you don't understand, like, this was really hard on me, this is how I make money, like. And I was like, I don't feel bad for you, do you know what you did to me? And I said, I was like, you said you have two daughters. I was like, I hope that no one on this earth ever makes them feel how you made me feel that night. I bet you raise your daughters to say that they can be and do anything that they want, and you at that night told me that I wasn't good enough. You told me I wasn't good enough to be somewhere. Imagine someone saying that to your daughter. And I looked him in the eye and I said that, and he had nothing to say, because what are you going to say to that? What are you going to say to that? And so I feel like at the end of the day, I was like, I appreciate you coming up here. I'm going to shake your hand. I'm sure we'll run into each other again. I respect you for taking this opportunity to apologize.
Yeah.
But I was like, I hope you learned your lesson.
Yeah.
And this isn't over. This can happen again. So I was like, just, I hope you learn.
Good on you for standing your ground. Not that I would expect anything less, honestly. But like,
honestly, like, I blacked out part of it. I was like, I don't know what's going on.
But what a great point too, as a woman who advocates for her younger self and other women to see themselves in you, to call this person out and say, your daughters literally look to women like me, like, to feel represented, to feel seen, or if not you, like other women. And so the way that you treat someone, almost being, it's unfortunate that you have to give someone like that vision for them to be like, oh, through my daughter's lens, but like, true. Like, how would you feel if that were the case? And I think that's just so important when we're speaking towards people's bodies, or even about our own bodies, like speaking in ways that what we say and what we do, like, it's not just like us, that like actually has a catastrophic effect on other people. Our words truly have power. And I think it's just incredible that in that moment, you were like, no, I am not going to let you take my power. And I'm also going to stand up for the power of other women, even if they are young women who are related to you, like, I'm going to let them have their power too.
Totally. And I feel like when, this is, might be bad to say, but like, when men lack empathy, you need to involve their life to like make them see it. I'm like, how is this not clicking for you? What do you need me to say?
Yes. I had a situation recently where I said to someone who has two daughters, I was like, it, very different situation, but I was like, someday your daughters, your young daughters, are going to be my age and are going to be like facing, hopefully not, we can hope that the conversation is very different and these things don't happen. But based on how it's been for women, like, they are going to face something simply being women. Think about how it would affect them. You would never speak to your daughters that way, or your wife or your partner. So why speak to anyone else that way? I love what you said earlier too about like always acting in this like main character energy. Mm-hmm. And I think if we all thought about that, like, what, how does the best version of me show up?
If we all just woke up one day, every single person were like, I'm going to be a good person today. What a nice world we would be in. The bare minimum of just being a nice person. It would just be.
Literally.
But that's why there's amazing people like you, like me, and like all these other people. Like, I feel like even there's the pros and cons of social media, but it does an amazing job of finding like the diamonds in the rough and shining a light on them and giving them opportunity to spread their message or whatever good they have.
I think, as we've said multiple times, there is such validation in seeing other people who have experienced things like you. Even thinking of my friend who recently experienced her situation at the club, to know that like she can look to women like you and be like, oh, she's been through that too. Not that it makes the situation better, because it doesn't, but she can at least be like, I'm not the only one. And isn't that the power of community, is being able to see other people who represent you and feel like, oh, if she got through this, so can I.
Totally. And that was another aspect of it. People were like, these two influencers complaining about not getting in the club for free. I was like, you're missing the point again.
Yeah.
Let me try to bring it back. And I was like, I wasn't always this person, but I always had this fear. I always had a fear of going to the club, going to frat parties, going to whatever, about being turned away because I was curvy or because I was black or because of whatever. Yep. And I never had the voice to be able to say something. And now I finally do. And it would be a disservice to every woman that has ever experienced this if I didn't speak on it.
Yes.
Absolutely. And if that makes you, in your eyes, I look entitled or whatever, then that's your opinion and you can have that. But I wouldn't change anything that I did.
Yes, you are speaking for you and for her. I want to transition a little bit and ask maybe some like a little more lighthearted questions, because I know obviously we love talking about that because that is so important and makes such a difference. But I want to go into, I don't want to give that all the energy.
I love that.
You mentioned a few brands that you've modeled for like early on. Are there any brands that like, okay, again, think about like 10-year-old Lexi or even 21-year-old Lexi that you've worked with now that maybe they weren't inclusive then, whatever that inclusion looks like, size, race, whatever, were they not inclusive then? And now you are seeing yourself as that representation of inclusion. Are there any brands from back then, like that old version of you, or even now brands that you just see incorporating you and women like you that you're like, yes, those are the ones that like, they are here for 10-year-old me, 21-year-old me, this version of me and beyond?
I would say two brands that I've seen them make major moves, like one that I loved in college. And when I started gaining weight back, I was like, I'm not going to be able to shop there anymore, was Princess Polly. So they have a whole curve section. They do an amazing job of like their marketing for it and their size inclusion. I'm pretty sure they're rolling out like a second wave of like even further sizes, which is amazing. Yeah. And it's been a dream getting to work with them. And like, they really want my opinion and my take. Like every time I'm there, I'll be like, this might need an extra lining. And they actually take it to heart. And it's really nice. They have an amazing team. And I can tell they prioritize getting representation for their curve collection. And then one that needs to do better, but I can see that they're starting, is Urban Outfitters. They're starting to get a little bit more, more sizes that are bigger, but that was a brand that I loved when I was in like middle school and high school. And even then I remember getting like their XLs and trying my best to make it work. And I feel like they're a little bit more true to size now, which is great. And I know that they do have products now that go up to 2X or 3X, which isn't awesome, but it's getting there. And I feel like situations like this podcast where you talk about it or making TikTok videos or things like that, putting pressure on brands is how we make a change. It's hard. Like I've talked about it with people before. It's scary, especially I think being a Black woman in the space, you want to use your voice, but you don't want to use it too much. Like people will be like, oh, she's just negative, or she's aggressive, or she's this, or she's that. And that's a microaggression that people might not even know that they're leaning into. But I was always fearful of, okay, if I spoke out about how disappointed I am in this brand, is that going to make other brands not want to work with me? You would hope and pray these brands would be like, we need to do better, rather than being like, oop, don't work with her, she's problematic.
Yeah.
I try my best to do a nice balance of trying to be like, these are the goods and these are the bads and whatever. Yeah. But I do think it's really important. And what I try to do is sometimes I know that social media isn't the right way to go. And so if I can have a one-on-one conversation with a brand, I would love to go that route more, 100%. Whenever I'm invited to an event, I will go and find the person that invited me, or like the people that work there, or our head of whatever. And I'm like, I just want to say thank you so much for inviting me. It's so important that you're being inclusive and that you have curvy representation, Black representation, whatever representation. And I hope you keep doing it. And it's really exciting that you are doing this right now and you're on the right path. And I feel like that's just like positive reinforcement. I was a psych major. So I'm like, let me just try to help these people. So every time I do this, I try to do that and just make sure they know it's important what they're doing. Yeah. And I think if we really want to see a change, the skinny white girls need to start doing that. They need to start speaking up and saying things, because it's actually ridiculous seeing like the same influencers going on the same brand trips, doing the same thing. Yeah. And it's obviously an amazing experience and you don't want to rock the boat and you want to be able to go all over the world for free. But I don't know. I feel like it should weigh on your conscience a little bit if you're just seeing that this inclusivity is not there at all. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that they would speak up, because those are the voices that really get the attention.
We recently had a conversation with Bella Gerard and then a separate conversation on the pod with Curvily. And both are women heavily in the fashion industry. Both are, Bella is a size 12, so straight size, but curvy. And Curvily, Sarah, she is a plus size woman. And they both, in very separate realms, they're both like very much in the New York fashion space. One is an editor, the other is a blogger, content creator, and both have been in the space for quite some time, like very much OGs. And they both separately spoke to the fact that it's one thing when one individual says that a brand needs to change, right? But it's another thing when the people who purchase from that brand or are most represented by that brand speak up, because they are the people right now who are giving the brand money, right? Or making the brand money. And so for them, like, they actually have an impact with their words, because ultimately brands are concerned about where is the money going to come from. So if these people right now who are the money makers or the ones impacting the brand decision, if they say, no, we need representation, or we need these people to be here, those brands are actually going to listen. Or even, we need these sizes. That was a big thing we talked about with both of them, was it's not just the job of women in the plus space to say we need plus representation. It's, as we said, like the skinny white girls or the straight size community too. It's that, it's also their job, right? Mm-hmm. To say, we need this, not just yours.
I feel like the most perfect example of a woman that does that is Rihanna. Like, obviously, the top of the top, but she has, it's so clear that everybody, every person is beautiful, and she has made it a priority. There's no, she doesn't even have size extension or whatever. It's all one, everything's together, and she has priority in every aspect of her, from her beauty line to her Savage line to everything, to make it inclusive and important and to speak on it.
Yeah.
And there's no badder bitch than Rihanna. If she can speak out and do these things, like, I just think she's a fabulous example of how people with success or people with eyes on them, that situations don't affect them, how they should speak. Because Rihanna could be like, whatever, I don't care. Like, I'm going to do whatever works for me, my sizes, whatever. But she doesn't. And she she didn't have to do that. And I think that's major.
She's amazing. Lexi, what does confidence mean to you?
That's such a good question. I feel like for me, when I think about confidence, it's really just loving yourself in any state, any possible state that there is. It doesn't matter. I can firmly say it doesn't matter how much I weigh, what I look like, what my hair looks like, who I'm dating, anything else. At the end of the day, I love myself. You take everything away. Everyone in the world is blind, whatever, I don't know. I can say that I go to bed every night and I love who I am. I love how I treat people. I love how I represent myself, everything like that. And that is what's gonna last forever. Beauty comes and goes. All of these things come and go. And I just think confidence stems from within always. And if you can have a firm foundation of loving who you are as a person, then loving what you look like becomes 10 times easier.
Preach, girl. Mic drop. So good. So good.
Thank you for that. This has been the best conversation ever.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad. Like, I really feel so blessed every single interview. I'm like, I get to talk to the coolest people. Like, speaking of community, like, just to be in a community of people who are all about finding that confidence and realizing that it's a journey, that it's not perfect, that it like looks different for all of us, but that we're all on this journey together is just, it gives me such life. And I love hearing about people's journey to getting there. And I know like everyone listening loves it too. So seriously, thank you so much, Lexi, for like sharing so deeply with us. Like, I love that you were like, you're getting my whole story. It was so impactful. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for giving me a platform to talk about this. It's so important. And I'm just so thankful to be here. And you were the best interviewer. So easy to talk to. It wouldn't be this good without you. So thank you so much.
It's a team effort. We got it, girl.
Fun things are coming. I'm thinking about, I've been trying to date a lot more.
Yes. So you've been documenting the dating too, which we all appreciate. If you're on Spotify and Apple listening to this conversation, please be sure to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Let us know what you like and that you're here so that we can come back every week and bring you confidence boosting conversations just like this. Also, if you want to see visuals, us just like having a good time, go ahead and follow us over on YouTube at The BodCon. We also are on Instagram at The BodCon, where we're always sharing confidence boosting and just like fun messaging. And particularly in the BodCon app, where we're having conversations like this in real time. We would love to see you there. Thank you all so much for listening. Lexi, thanks again for being here. And
thanks so much for joining us today on the Bod Pod. We release new episodes every week and we're available on all podcast streaming platforms and now YouTube too. Subscribe to our channels to be the first to know. Want to talk all things body confidence, enter amazing giveaways, and hear updates about the BodCon 2023? Find us on Instagram at the BodCon. My name's Rachel K. Grimm, and I'll see you next week.